Well, welcome to the Supermassive Nerdcast. This is episode number one. Today's recording date is August 6, 2016. This is our first episode. I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Billy Curry. You can find me at Billy Curry on Twitter. I am the editor-in-chief of ComicTrash.com, and I also have with me tonight
Both of your senior editors.
Both of my senior editors and two of my co-hosts. We'll start with Andrew Buck. What's up, Andrew?
Not so much. How you doing, Bill?
Good, good. Thanks for coming on. Can you just tell everybody out there what your Twitter handle is?
I actually don't really remember my Twitter handle because I don't rarely use it, but I think it's AB Scott, like one word, AB Scott 113.
You're right. That's what it is.
That's it. That is it.
Look at me.
I thought it was at Skinflute 69. No, that's not right.
No, that's yours. No,
that's mine.
That's my business email.
We also have Tessa Violi, our other senior editor here at ComicTrash.com. What's up, Tess?
Hi. Not much.
Can you tell everybody your really complicated, hard-to-say Twitter handle?
It's not hard to say if you're a real Red Hot Chili Peppers fan. My Twitter handle is _ Quixotic Elixir, like one of their songs.
Quixotic. So if you don't know how to spell that, don't worry. We'll add both of those in the description below. But
we've got you guys.
Thank you for joining us today. What I want to do is really quick. This is a podcast. We're going to do it once a week. We're going to be discussing things like comic books, video games, movies, television, and toys and collectibles as much as we can. So we're going to be kind of revolving around geek culture. We're not going to be talking about stuff that does not relate to our website unless it has to do with porn or other things along that.
Oh, no babes.
No, we're not talking about vapes or Darth Vapor or maybe Darth Vader, but not Darth Vapor. That's for a different show altogether. But ComicTrash.com, check us out. We're consistently posting things every day around those subjects I just talked about. Follow us at Comic Trash on Twitter and Facebook. Comic Trash Media, and our YouTube channel, it's youtube.com/ Comic Trash. So cool. Really, get that stuff out of the way.
So just in case anyone wants to know, the show where we do talk about all the stuff we can't talk about now is Comic Trash After Dark.
Oh, After Dark. That's when I'm not wearing any pants. Well, I am not wearing any pants right now, but you guys can't see that. That's a whole. What's that, Andrew?
So that means right now because you don't have pants on.
I'm never wearing pants, so unless I'm out, outside.
It's always after dark if Billy's concerned.
Yeah, right.
That's when we take out the skin flute.
the password.
You guys can. I can describe what I'm doing right now, but we don't have to go into it. Really quick, guys, before we get into everything, I just want to kind of. I'll start with Andrew. Andrew, really quick, what do you do for Comic Trash? What are you into? What are things that get you all hot and steamy?
Well, for the most part, I really just write and review when I get the chance to. I'm more of an editor than I am a writer these days, so that's where the bulk of my efforts go. If I could, I would review more. As far as interests go, you know, I'm a movies and video games and comic books, pretty much in that order. I spend most of my time pretty much watching movies, or if I'm not, I'm working.
I don't want to go too deep in Andrew right now, so... Okay. What about you, Tess? Talk to us. Tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do.
Okay, so for Comic Trash, usually anything that I write, kind of pertains to more like anime and sometimes comics, but sometimes geek fashion too, depending on what's going on. Most of the anime stuff you're going to see on Comic Trash is probably going to be by me. And as far as interests go, anime's a big one, and I'm a huge Green Lantern fan. Anyone ever wants to chat, could hit me up.
Who's your favorite Green Lantern?
Hal Jordan. Right. Of course. Hold on, I got him right here.
Why do you like Green Lantern so much? What brings you, what attracts you to Hal?
I really fell in love with the series before the movie Disaster came out with Ryan Reynolds. So back in around 2011, I started reading the Geoff Johns take on Green Lantern, and I also ended up picking up the Silver Age book, which the Silver Age I'm not too into, but I just really like the storyline and just the characters, and it's really cool, and especially if you're into sci-fi, like, it's enjoyable.
Very cool.
I feel like the series is kind of underrated because a lot of people, like, not that there aren't many fans out there, but a lot of people are going to say, oh, well, I like Batman, or I like Superman, or I read The Flash. Like, I feel like not a lot of people read Green Lantern enough.
No, it's good. Everybody says Batman or Superman. I'm one of those people. But, you know, it's good to hear that somebody, you know, I didn't know that about how much you like Green Lantern. I thought I did. Maybe I did already. I'm not sure.
You probably do.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. Really quick about myself. I am editor in chief of Comic Trash. I moderate, I guess, on the site these days. I don't write anymore.
Behind the scenes,
I fix things when things break, or have to call hosting provider when shit hits the fan. And I'm here and there on the social medias, and yeah, that's it. These days I'm just trying to, you know, or get the get us more exposure on comictrash.com as far as our podcast and our video, you know, through YouTube, and just try to kind of reach more people out there. And yeah, that's it. I mean, more will come out throughout this episode and future episodes, and you know, everybody will learn a little bit more about all of us and some of our other team members on the site. So I have a really quick icebreaker for you guys. So we'll go around the room. We'll start with Tess, and
all right,
go to Andrew, then myself. What is your favorite animated movie of all time?
Oh my!
Movie.
Wow. That's really hard, especially to come up with this so spontaneously. So I'm just going to give an answer. I'm also a big Sailor Moon fan, in case no one knows this. Sailor Moon was my first anime that I ever got into, so I'm going to say the second Sailor Moon movie would be my favorite animated.
I didn't know there was a first one.
There's three.
My daughter has a Sailor Moon poster right over there, you guys.
Very cool.
I didn't know there was a first one.
I didn't even know there was a movie. I thought it was a comic book, or I don't know.
No, there were five seasons, a whole bunch of comics, and three movies, and like two animated specials.
Now, does she ever make it up to Captain? That's what I want to find out. Because she's a sailor. Does she make it up to like the level of Captain? And what's her boat look like?
I mean, technically, I guess so, if you count her final transformation form, so sure.
Sailor Moon.
Now, does she become Admiral?
We'll say that she did.
Yeah. Admiral would be the highest level, I would assume. Does she
Admiral Moon.
Does she have, like, a plank? Does she have, like, a hook? Or does she get into any of that kind of stuff?
I don't know, Billy. I think you'd have to watch it to find out.
Is that considered anime?
Yeah, of course. It's Japanese.
No, can't deal with that. Not gonna happen.
But even if Addie wanted to watch it with you, you just deny her like that? You deny your own kid? Come on, Billy.
I actually watched a new Voltron on Netflix. Would that be considered anime?
No.
That's why it was pretty good. That's why I liked it.
You suck.
No. I'm just messing with you. Great. Andrew, Mr. Buck, it's your turn. What's your favorite animated movie of all time?
I don't really watch all that many animated movies, so I'm just going to pull one out of my head. Superman versus the Elite. That's one of my favorites.
I'm not familiar with that. What's that about?
I've never watched that one.
It was like a one-shot story from the 80s where Superman meets a group of British superheroes led by this guy named Manchester Black, and they get into a tiff with each other because Manchester Black thinks that he knows the best way to handle dealing with supervillains, which is killing them outright, and Superman doesn't agree. So after a while, they end up coming to fists because Superman thinks that there's a better way. But Black starts to get more momentum with the American public because he starts playing on people's fears. These villains are just going to come back and kill people later, so why don't we just kill them now? And Superman is trying to fight against this, and then they go and fight, and it's got a really nice sort of like moral to the story tie-in at the end where Superman goes literally apeshit and practically murders all of the elite members to try to prove that violence isn't the way to go about it. But then, after putting the fear of God into Manchester Black, shows that he never actually killed any of them and that there's a better way to go about handling crime, which is pretty awesome. It's a nice story.
Very good. Thank you. So, I'm a big Disney fan, so I love Disney movies. So.
Yeah.
Love Disney movies. And I would say I have a bunch of favorites. I think the one that sticks out the most for me would be Toy Story 2.
Aww.
I really like Toy Story 2. I like all the Toy Stories, but I think it's because I think overall I watched all three of those more than any other Disney or any other animated movie, just because that was my daughter's like favorite movies when she was a few years old, 2-3 years old. So I think number two sticks out the most just because it's like really, it's a very,
I bet you number two sticks out the most.
Oh, God. No, the second one is really good.
Second one is kind of depressing at times with the backstory of some of the characters, and number three is really like horrifying at the end. But number one, I would say between number one and number two are my two favorites out of those. You're going to think I'm really, really sappy here, but I think I really like Beauty and the Beast. I like that movie. That's a great, and that movie is...
I love Belle.
She's my favorite princess, so.
Yeah.
Love Belle. So cool. Thank you. Let's move on. So this is, like I said, this is episode number one, guys. So we're going to kind of like just BS and talk about things that are going in the past week, what we've been doing, what we've been watching, playing, our thoughts on things that are currently going on right now. So the first thing I want to talk about Suicide Squad and all the stuff that people are saying about it, reviews, all the stuff around all the conspiracy theories around Rotten Tomatoes. I don't know if you guys heard about that either. But I wanted to kind of talk to Andrew about it, because I know Andrew, and this is dear to his heart. It's DC. it's just very odd that, what's going on? What do you think, Andrew, is going on with all this? Are you believing the critics? Or I don't know if you've seen the movie yet, but I'll kind of start it off with you. Suicide Squad.
Well, if you're wondering whether or not I think there's a conspiracy theory, that one's a tough one because it's not really a conspiracy, but there is a noticeable bias in the way critics like to operate, especially when it comes to comic book movies. The more, the less a movie, well, critics are generally pretty good when it comes to reviewing movies, but for as long as there's been, comic book movies just accept as anything other than childish popcorn entertainment. And you'll see it with pretty much everything that DC has tried to do. Past Christopher Nolan's Dark. I want to call him Bruce Timm, but it's not Bruce Timm. It's the guy who did Batman from 1989.
Oh, Michael Keaton? Tim Burton?
Tim Burton.
Yeah.
Past those, because those were really like artsy movies, critics really don't... They haven't been giving DC a fair... they haven't really been treating DC like their films. They've been treating them like their cheap comic book movies. And same thing with Marvel. You'll notice that too, especially with this stuff that Marvel Studios puts out that doesn't adhere to that critic standard. It gets torn apart. Look at Thor 2, The Dark World, Iron Man 2, Age of Ultron got it a little bit. The more that Marvel adheres to those standards that critics like, the critics keep about things their own way, which would be fine. What's killing them right now is the fact that Warner is not giving their filmmakers a fair chance, and they're editing these movies behind their back, and they're doing a really bad job at it. That's what's killing them more than anything. Because even with Batman vs. Superman and Suicide Squad, the reviews are pretty much, they're hovering, because Rotten Tomatoes is a terrible, terrible scale if you want to look at how accurate a movie's reception is. The reviews are basically saying, this could have been a good movie had it been edited a little bit better, had the tone been more consistent. So, and this is including Batman vs. Superman. So if we look at those two examples, I think we can really see what's the real issue that's killing DC's momentum at the moment. And that's simply Warner is not giving their filmmakers the fair shot.
Who's to blame? Is Warner to blame? I mean, we have two different directors here. We're talking about Batman vs. Superman and Suicide Squad. So we have two totally different directors. They both technically got panned by critics, majority of critics. Why? So we can't just blame one director. We can't blame Zack Snyder on one end. So what is it? The writing? Is it the tone of the movies? Are people used to the Marvel colorful, playful Marvel movies, and that's what they expect from DC, and they're not getting that? Or is something else underneath it all?
It's actually everything that you just said. Marvel has been saturating the market consistently with these lighter comedies. They're kind of like lighter Die Hard clones, where these movies that are really heavy on the action, but they're also glib and joyful. They're fun to watch. Critics like that.
Sure.
So naturally, like, they're so used to this that really they don't expect comic book movies to do more because they don't understand how comic book movies work. They think they're just cheap crap. So when Marvel makes it fun and enjoyable, they think, well, this is obviously as best as comic book movies can get. So when you see somebody try to do something different than what Marvel's doing, the critics are like, what the fuck are you doing? This isn't fun. You see that a lot. X-Men got the brunt of it. Out of all the movies this year, out of five, the critics, it's freaking Civil War and Deadpool. Deadpool is, I don't even want to get started on Deadpool. I mean, it's funny. Obviously, the critics latched onto that, but past the humor, it was a crappy-ass movie.
Yeah.
I agree. I totally agree.
It had nothing going for it. There was no real, like, substance to it aside from the fact that there was humor involved.
They had a smart marketing campaign. It was nothing special. It was a cheap storyline. It was kind of boring, to be honest.
It wasn't anything new. It wasn't anything that, like, people haven't seen before.
Right. But all these movies, Age of Ultron, for example, it was probably the worst out of the bunch, in my opinion. And that got a pretty... What did Rotten Tomatoes give that on in the 90s, right?
No, it was not in the 90s.
No, was it the 80s? Or no?
I think it was lower in the 60s.
Oh, okay. What am I thinking of? Has Rotten Tomatoes given a lower score? Have they given anything close to what they gave, like, below 50 to any Marvel movie recently, within the last 5 years?
In the last 5 years, would be 2011, right?
And not including, don't include the Spider-Man movies, and don't include the X-Men movies. We'll take those out.
I'm pulling up right now.
Fantastic Four doesn't count either.
Age of Ultron is at a 75%, and it's certified fresh too by Rotten Tomatoes.
All right.
So there's that to think over. If this freaking thing would work.
Can DC pull themselves out of this, or Warner Bros. Pull themselves out of this? Do they have to, are they going to bend over and make a movie do what the critics want them to make, like a Marvel movie, or are they going to continue doing stuff that they want to do that the fans like? I mean, the fans liked, real fans liked Batman versus Superman.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say all of them, but a good chunk of them did. Hopefully Wonder Woman looks fantastic, and it's the same, you could tell, it's the same feel, the same tone, the same look, very, you know.
Well, for Wonder Woman, I'm going to tell you, it's either going to be the make or break for them, because right now, this is, Suicide Squad is, it wasn't soon enough for Geoff Johns' involvement to kind of bring back what Warner did to Suicide Squad, so I feel like this is going to be the last sort of hiccup on the road for the DC films. I feel like Geoff Johns is going to, as the president for DC films, for DC Entertainment, and as an executive producer for the films, he's going to be keeping an eye to make sure that this doesn't keep happening, because he doesn't want his brand to get demolished.
Do they have?
I feel like Wonder Woman, it's either going to be what we're going to see become of the DC movies, or it's just going to crash and burn because the critics are just not going to give it that fair shot. And by the way, within the last 5 years, Marvel Studios has not gotten a single rotten score. I even looked up Thor the Dark World, which is sitting at a 66% right now. Which I think is
ridiculous, to be honest.
What's that?
I feel like that's an integral part of what Rotten Tomatoes misses about film criticism, is that they don't understand that there's a middle of the road. Like, it's either fresh and it's great, or it's rotten and it's terrible. But, like, what if your movie's mediocre?
Yeah.
Why doesn't that gain any recognition?
There's no middle ground.
If your movie's average, that's not a bad thing, and that should be accounted for. I mean, I was reading Devin Faraci from Birth Movies Death did a review for Suicide Squad, and he said on his blog, I have a choice of either giving this movie a fresh or a rotten, and I'm giving it a fresh because I don't feel like giving a rotten is fair because I have an average review, and I don't have a choice. I have to pick one or the other, and I feel like a fresh represents what my opinion is more than a rotten does. But how does that make any sense?
Exactly.
What are the major criticisms of the movie? From what I heard, it starts off pretty good, and then it kind of gets cliched or kind of dulls down towards the end.
Well, that's actually funny because from the reviews that I'm reading, it's not consistent with what people's problems are. There are a couple. There were two reviewers. I think it was Time Magazine.
Uh-huh.
They said the movie was too complicated, and that there was too much going on, and it didn't make a lot of sense. Then Independent did a review and said the movie's too simple, and that the characters don't get enough development, and you don't really feel for them. But like, one of them is wrong. They can't both be right.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, like, what, were they watching the same movie?
I don't know. I've heard that it was rushed, too.
Why?
I heard that David Ayer was tasked to write the movie when he first came onto the project, and he finished his first draft, and Warner said, all right, that's it. We're rolling with this. So that would make sense if the story feels weak, but it's either complicated or it's not. You can't be
yeah.
Cool.
So we have Wonder Woman coming out, and then after Wonder Woman is
Justice League.
Is Justice League after Wonder Woman? Yeah, it
I
is.
I believe so.
So if
Justice Wonder, League is after Wonder Woman.
So if Wonder Woman bombs, Justice League is probably the last. Are they going to make a solo Batman movie if these movies bomb? Is Ben Affleck going to do a solo Batman movie?
Yeah. I don't think they're going to stop anytime soon. Like,
well, I feel that they have no reason to.
They have a series of projections.
What's that?
I mean, they have projections for these movies to go on for a few years, so I don't think they're just gonna throw them all out. You know, like they have they have partnerships with media companies and merchandise, and like I don't think they're gonna budge unless they absolutely have to. Like they're at least gonna finish out what they have planned if it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Why not seek out, unless they have contracts with, probably not, who knows what Disney does, but what if, well, I'm going to give you like a hypothetical scenario here. You take one of the directors of whatever Marvel, successful Marvel movie, Joss Whedon, it could be anybody. If you take them and you drop them on into a DC project, what happens? Is it...
Well, you just roll them in there?
Well, you'd have them direct whatever upcoming... We're just hypothetical. We'll say Batman, Justice League 2, because we already know that those other movies already have directors connected to them, or whatever. Does the movie... will critics, because of who that director is, or who he's or what he's done in the past, will they be more lenient? Or is it that will we see a different tone? Like, does that where the DC movies have to go to please the majority of the people? Or are they just pleasing the fans?
Yeah. The only thing that's gonna win back the critics is if these movies start shaping up the way that films are received. It's got to be coherent. The editing has to be on point. The tone needs to be consistent. Nothing is going to win back the critics other than them actually physically making movies that the critics would like. That's the only thing that's going to win them back right now. Like, they can appeal to the fans all they want, but they can hire whoever they want, but it's not going to pan out unless Warner can get out of the editing room. If they can just, like, if Joss Whedon directed a movie and then they ripped it to pieces, it's still going to suck, and critics are going to feed on that no matter who's directing it. I mean, they brought Ben Affleck into Batman vs. Superman as fucking Batman, and he did a great job, and it still got ripped to shreds as a movie because it was edited so poorly.
What about the Nolan films, the Nolan trilogy? All three of them, no matter, even if you think the last one is the worst out of the three, why, even that movie out of the three of them is probably the least liked for whatever reasons, that still didn't get panned. If I'm right, why did those movies do so well?
Because overall, those movies still managed, like, even with the strange writing and the sort of colossalness of The Dark Knight Rises being a little bit over the top, they were still consistent from beginning to end, even if it was a little overstuffed.
Yeah.
From beginning to end, those movies, like, were consistent with itself. The critics aren't just going to forget that, you know?
Right. Because they were
watching a movie, they're trying to measure it as a film. They're not looking at it and saying, well, gee, I wonder what the fans think. Oh, is this accurate to the source material? These critics are sitting there wondering if these are good movies or not, and they're judging their opinions based on that. So if the components that make a film, if those are all sound and intact, the critics have no choice but to acknowledge that, unless they fucking suck at their job.
Well, hopefully Ben Affleck, we know he's a good director, and he's done good stuff on that end. And he's a good Batman from what we've seen, even though the movie itself, his character, I thought he did a well job, better than I thought he would do. I didn't have any problems with the people in the movie. Like, all the people that played the parts. Roughly, you know, there are some things that I wouldn't have done, but it was just just the tone of it. Maybe the areas that, and I'm talking about the Ultimate Edition, the 3-hour version, where it made a lot more sense from what I read. I didn't see it, the original version, where it filled in gaps, but there's things that probably didn't need to be there. If Ben Affleck could do a movie, a Batman solo movie, direct it, be in it, do you think it will be successful?
Unless Warner really thinks that they can screw over Ben Affleck, I don't think there's any way he's going to deliver anything less than a the quality product. Even if it's just good and not great, it's going to be good. It's not going to be less right. than good if you can help it.
Yeah, they're all going to be under a microscope at that point, too, most likely. I mean, they're going to be and Ben Affleck is going to be calling the shots to the other than Warner Brothers above him. But it seems like these other directors are kind of getting what's the word I'm looking for? They're just kind of taking the punches and they're
I don't think it's fair because it's not necessarily like the director's fault. I just feel like, you know, a lot of people don't look at DC movies the same way as Marvel or something to compare it to. They don't I feel like anytime a DC movie comes out, everyone's just going to say, oh, well, it's going to suck anyway.
So before I'm going to leave this question open, kind of post it on our Facebook page and stuff like that and see what other people think about this question. Does DC, for DC to move forward with whatever, do they need to change the tone of their films to be more like the Marvel movies? Will that make it successful?
No.
Will that help anything? Or will it piss people off? Or will it make it worse? Does DC need to follow the same road that Disney and Marvel did with the Marvel movies, the current ones within the first phase and phase two? And now, what do you think, Andrew? Do they need to go down that route, or do you think they should stick to their guns and continue doing what they're doing, and hopefully Warner Brothers doesn't step on everybody's toes?
Well, they definitely don't need to keep doing what they're doing, and they also don't need to copy Marvel. If your question is asking whether or not they should just imitate what Marvel's doing, I don't think so. If you're asking me if they should take advice from how Marvel's doing it, I think they should absolutely do that. I think what they really should be doing, more so than anything, not necessarily making their movies fun little romps, I think they should really keep taking themselves seriously. But I think whoever has been pulling strings and operating behind everyone's back and ordering to re-edit the film without anyone's consent.
Okay, great. So we'll post that up. We'll post it up on the site or on Facebook and try to get some kind of some feedback on that and what people think, what they need to do to be great again.
No, I don't think they should change what their brand is. Like, I think they should just be true to what their stories are.
No, I think they should stick to their guns because that's what makes them so unique. That's what makes them.
They're not Marvel. They're never gonna be Marvel, and they should aspire to be that.
Marvel was always their cast of superheroes is more colorful, more playful, more where DC was a little bit more darker and more rough around the edges. They have the Batman, you know. They were a little bit less kid friendly than their counterpart of Marvel. I agree. I think they should stick. I think they just need better direction overall on what's coming out and what. Make sure if it's not ready, if it's not where it's supposed to be, don't release a movie. I know there's deadlines. And somebody needs to kind of say no. This is we're not going to do this. And I know Warner Brothers is calling the shots at the end of the day, yeah. But somebody else needs to step in and see what's going on because these movies they're not going to make the movie if it continues doing this. These movies are not going to get made, and then we're going to wait another 10 years.
I think that they just have to have a little bit more of an open mind when it comes to things like this. You can't appeal to everybody, but at the same time, you can't also copy just what somebody else is doing with their stuff and try to appeal to people that way. I mean, it's not going to work.
I read a quote a while back. It said, the difference between Marvel and DC Marvel are the kind of heroes that you look up to, but DC are the kind of heroes that you aspire to be. Mm-hmm. I think that really sells the difference between both properties. You know, like, Marvel's supposed to be more fun because you enjoy their company, but DC are supposed to be role models.
Yeah.
Which I think if they stick to their guns, they'll have just equally successful films.
Yeah.
If, you know what, if they can handle,
right.
They can get rid of whoever's botching these movies on them, they mm-hmm. won't have a problem identifying themselves on the market.
Right.
Yeah.
If they stick to their guns, people will get used to that. This is who DC is. This is how DC is. This is Marvel. I mean, Marvel had a rough start at the beginning. We all know this, even early mm-hmm. on. It didn't all start with Iron Man, even though that's kind of
yeah.
weird. But
it's had a rough time for a while.
And DC, people will be like, okay, this is a DC movie. This is the way they're doing. They're darker. They're more gritty. They're mm-hmm. more. They're more. And then Marvel's more the. They have to crack the jokes and they do this and it's fun and they got the.
Yeah, but you know what? If they didn't do that, they'd have nothing.
Right. They needed
and
all that. They
you
had
know what it is? I've been seeing this one article circulate all over the place, and the headline literally is, Warner Brothers turned Suicide Squad into a mess, and it's panic over Batman versus Superman criticism. It's been going around all over the place.
They're using
it as an excuse.
Exactly.
Which I don't really agree with. I mean, you can't blame one movie for something else, some other movie doing well or not so well. I mean, it's either one or the other.
I think they expected it to be the saving grace, this movie, Suicide Squad. They expected it to be like, okay, Batman vs. Superman didn't do too well. This movie is gotta be good. It's gotta be the one for DC to kind of boost it off. And I think I don't know.
I think that no one really knows what to expect from DC when it comes to movies because of situations like this, and even like the Green Lantern movie that didn't do well at all, especially for like the real fans of the comic. I mean, people who haven't read the books liked it, but the people that read the comics hated it.
I mean, I'll use Warcraft for Warcraft movie. I saw the Warcraft movie, and that movie didn't get reviewed very well. But the fans of the game liked it because they knew what it's about. They understood the things that were going on, or the things that they were discussing in the movie, or the places they were going to. I liked the movie, and I would definitely say I would see it again. I can't wait for it to come on Blu-ray, and I enjoyed it. And there was some issue, nothing crazy issue-wise, but I wouldn't say it's the best movie ever, but I enjoyed it because I'm a fan of World of Warcraft, and I thought it was good. I'm a fan of the some of the actors that are in the movie, and I know them mm-hmm. from other stuff, and I thought it was a good portrayal. As of right now, it's the only portrayal of World of Warcraft on the big screen.
Yeah,
and I think they did it pretty well, and I can't wait to and it scares me to see if they don't make a second one, but I think they will because it did pretty well overseas in China. It did huge. But I'm looking forward to the second one, and it gets me mad when a movie that you love or you're passionate about, it scares you because if it does bad, they might not make a movie, a continuation of it. Because
right.
a bunch of critics who don't know much or they don't care about it and they're just stuck in their ways, pan it, and it just upsets me. Like, I don't want to have another Batman movie for 10 years. You know, I'll take. It's like Star Wars. I want Star Wars every year because I love Star Wars.
Right.
So I don't care. I want them to be good. I don't want them to be bad, but I want them to keep making them. And because I'll take as much as I can handle. Good thing Star Wars does very well. We'll see with Rogue One. I have high expectations for that movie.
I do too. And you know what it is? With movies like this, I feel like if the fans are into it, that's really what's important.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what's...
Yeah.
Those are the people that are buying into it all.
Exactly.
They're the ones that are buying the merchandise.
They wouldn't be there without their fans, too. Like, the real diehard comic book fans that enjoy the films like that.
Any last words, guys?
I'm good.
None for me, man.
I'm hungry.
I'm starving. I can't wait to eat. But thank you. I think it was a successful episode. This is, we kind of really dive deep into this, and it's going to leave the conversations open for future episodes. Definitely, I'll be interested to see what happens moving forward and how the movie overall does. But thanks a lot. This has been Super Massive Nerdcast. This is episode number one. Follow us on Twitter at Comic Trash. Check us out on Facebook, Comic Trash Media, and subscribe. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel. This will be up on our YouTube channel, even though it's just going to be an audio format. But it'll be there at youtube.com/comictrash. And follow us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Thank you. Thanks, Tess and Andrew, for joining in. And we'll check you out next week.